You have to watch and you have to pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, what does this mean? And what does it look like? And how can you do it?
This is Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, when I hear Jesus say, watch and pray, sounds like he's telling us to be careful, but is it more than that?
Yeah, it certainly is more than being careful. I mean, imagine sending out a soldier into the field of battle. If all of his training was, hey, be careful.
Right. Not very effective soldier.
That's not going to do it. You're going out into a field of battle. You need better preparation than that.
All right. So what kind of training do we need?
Well, watch and pray. Jesus is talking about identifying what are your primary battles, knowing yourself. All Christians are tempted, but not all Christians are tempted in precisely the same way. And as Christians grow older, we are tempted in different ways. The thing changes. The battle moves. So the question really is, how well do you know yourself? Do you see where you are most vulnerable? And are you able to identify where your enemy is active in your life right now?
All right. Well, some great questions for us to consider as we begin today's message entitled Standing Up to Temptation from a series, The Inside Story of the Christian Life. If you can, join us in Matthew chapter 26. Here's Pastor Colin.
The inside story really boils down to this, that a Christian is a person who is in Christ and in the body at the same time. Being in Christ means that we have the power to live a new life, but being in the body means that we face all kinds of pressures and battles. This means that the normal Christian life is a lifelong warfare against sin and against temptation that is constantly landing in our lives. The flesh provides a landing place for the impulse to sin. And we saw that sin itself will not die in our lives unless it be constantly weakened. Spare it and it renews its strength. We learned from John Owen a great phrase. He said, always be killing sin or it will be killing you. And he got that from Romans in chapter 8 and verse 13, where we are told that we are to put to death the misdeeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. We learned this word mortification, putting to death the misdeeds of the body, cutting off the shoots of sin before they establish themselves in our lives. Act early, act often. We saw that every time you say no to a particular sin or temptation, you weaken its power in your life. You gain against it. But every time you say yes to a sin or a temptation, you actually increase its power in your life. Sin, as it were, moves forward against you. And we likened this to the analogy of a football game, which is all about yardage and gaining possession and where the initiative and the momentum is. And we said, move the ball forward by winning some battles in your war against the flesh. Well, these are some of the dynamics of the Christian life that all of us experience. And today, as we wrap up this part of the series, I'd like to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. These are the words of Jesus relating to our battle with temptation. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Jesus comes to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He has been praying and he has asked them to watch with him. And he says these words, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Now, most of us will be familiar with these words, but I wonder how much you've thought about them. What does it mean to fall into temptation? Is that different from being tempted? And if so, how? What particularly does it mean to watch? How would you do that this week? What are the parts of watching? And how particularly should you pray in such a way that you will prevail and you will not do, as Jesus says here, fall into temptation? These are real questions of the most practical sort. And as we conclude this part of the series, I want to speak to you as practically as I possibly can about the battle that all of us are engaged with all of the time against various forms of temptation that come into our lives. Now, the place to start is surely here. All of us are tempted. We have seen in this series that as long as we are in the body, temptation can reach us. The impulse to sin has a landing place in the flesh. And so it's very significant that Jesus does not say, watch and pray so you won't be tempted. The New Testament never holds out the prospect of a time in this life where a Christian is somehow beyond temptation. That belongs to heaven. But in this life, you will experience temptation as long as you are in the flesh. So what Jesus says is watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, or literally translated, so that you will not enter into temptation. Again, our friend John Owen is helpful here. He says that entering into temptation has two distinct features. The first is that Satan becomes more earnest than usual. Now, that is very important to grasp. Not all days are the same in the Christian life. We read from Ephesians chapter 6 of particular days that are described as the day of evil. A time when Satan's temptations and his attack against you may come with particular vigor and particular strength. A time when you may be especially tested at another level from the way in which it happens in other occasions or more ordinary circumstances of your Christian life. And Owen says we have to be awake to these times. There is a time, he says, where temptation comes to its high noon and its power seems to reach a particular intensity in a person's life. And that is what Paul describes as the day of evil. And the second mark of entering into temptation is that it is a time when the heart is unable to escape from the trap of a particular temptation. So if you think about your Christian life, temptations come and you are often able to push them off, and that may involve some degree of struggle or battle, but you are able to do this usually without particular difficulty. But there may come a time, Owen says, when you find that a particular temptation has gained power and it has gained vigor, and you find yourself divided. You want to reject this temptation, but at the same time, you are unable to wholly free yourself from it. I'm trying to think of an illustration that would help to make this clear. Think with me about a salesman who comes knocking on your door. And he or she has something to offer and wants to engage you in conversation. You open the door, you realize it's a salesperson. It's really not terribly difficult at that point to say, well, no, I'm terribly busy and I'm not interested in this. And why don't you go and talk to these wonderful people who live next door just down the street, you see? That's not terribly difficult, is it? But suppose alternatively you say, well, no, come in, and they sit down on your sofa there in your living room, and so the salesperson now gets out the product and goes through the routine and talks to you about how much you need this thing that he has, and how much better your life will be when you get it, and how there's never been a better time to get it than now, and so forth and so on. And as you listen to him, what happens? Your heart and your mind gets engaged. Some rapport develops between you and this person, and now, it is much harder to say, get out of here, isn't it? And it really is. It really is. Now, this is what it means to enter into temptation. You're engaged with it. You've become connected to it. You've become involved in it. This impulse to sin that first landed in your flesh, it's now worked its way into your affections. And your heart is now divided. Yes, because you're a Christian, you say, no, this is not what I should do. This is not where I should go. And yet there is now a hold that this temptation has within you, and you're finding yourself in great difficulty. Now Jesus says, watch and pray so that you don't end up in that position. That is not where you want to be. Now, you will see immediately that this fits exactly with all that we have been learning in this series. We have been seeing that the way temptation works is that it grows in power as it builds a position in your life. It wants to get, as it were, from knocking on the door to sitting there in the sofa and engaging you heart to heart so that you become involved, and it's now very, very hard to say no. And Jesus says, now that's what you must not let happen. You must watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. The way temptation works is all about building a position in your life. And that's why we use the analogy of football, of moving the ball forward. You see, the game is about a position. That's not the only analogy. Think about the game of chess. Here's this grand master, and you're sitting the other side of the board, trying to move your pieces around against him. And you know you're going to lose. And how does he win? He doesn't win by making one move on the board. No, what he does is he gradually builds a position, you see. He moves his pieces onto the strategic squares. And every time he takes another strategic square and he moves another key piece, you're going, oh boy, I'm in a worse position. And gradually, as it were, the whole thing is tightening until in the end you've no place to go. And your king gets knocked over and you have lost the game. It's the same in a company when there is a hostile takeover. How does a hostile takeover happen? It doesn't happen all in a moment. It happens by the company that is seeking to make this takeover. It develops a position. They position themselves with regards to shares and then a seat on the board and then more seats on the board and more influence and alliance. And eventually a circumstance has come where the position has been built where the takeover is inevitable, you see. This is exactly how temptation works. It's the same in warfare. If you study the history of great battles in the history of the world, you'll find this, that they were won or lost by the strategy of the generals who were able to say, now, you know, this unit must take this particular piece of high ground. That's strategic. And then you guys have to move over this side on the flank. And the position is developed. And eventually a position is achieved in which the enemy's whole situation becomes untenable and the whole thing collapses. Now, think about what is happening in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here's Jesus and he's engaged in prayer and this battle is raging. What is Satan doing? Satan is trying to build a position in which he can prevail. And already he's worked his way into the heart of Judas. He can't work his way into the heart of Jesus as Jesus resists all the onslaughts of the enemy. And as Jesus is praying, now he comes over to these three disciples, and what is happening is that Satan's going to go after them as well. That's part of his building the position. And Jesus says, now here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to watch. You're going to have to pray, so that you do not fall into temptation. Don't get into the position where sin has gained an overwhelming power over you. Now, friends, this is a word of great importance for us, because temptations come to you and come to me, and they will come to us this week. And you will find yourself engaged in this warfare, and Satan will be seeking to build a position from which you will fall, to mount the pressure. And Jesus says, this is what you must therefore do. You have to watch, and you have to pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. Now, what does this mean? And what does it look like? And how can you do it? Watch. What does it mean to watch? How would you watch? What would you watch for this week? Let me suggest three angles of watching for you. The first is, watch by identifying your primary battles. See, what are your primary battles? Could you write down the top three right now? If you do not know what you're up against, then you're not watching. Now, all Christians are tempted, but not all Christians are tempted in precisely the same way. Of course, there are some obvious temptations that are common to all. But remember what we saw from James in chapter 1, where he said that each one of us is tempted by his own evil desires. In other words, James tells us that there are distinctive temptations that arise up from our own flesh. And what that means is that your distinctive battles, the ones you face, are to some extent rooted in your temperament, and the ones that I face are to some extent rooted in mine. All Christians are tempted, but we may be tempted in different ways and in different spheres. So knowing yourself, therefore, is of huge importance in the Christian life. John Calvin said on one occasion that nearly all the wisdom that we can possess in this world comes down to two things: knowing God and knowing yourself. And then he said, you can never get the one without the other. So knowing yourself is of huge importance. Huge importance. I don't often watch American Idol, but I've seen enough of this to get the general idea of the phenomenon. I mean, the popularity of this show is remarkable. And what has been so striking to me about it is the extraordinary number of people who seem to have no self-knowledge whatsoever. Here's a woman, and she comes on, and she's absolutely sure she can sing, and she can't have a note in tune, you know? And as she comes on, the thing is an absolute disaster, and the judges show no mercy in telling her the absolute plain and unvarnished truth. So what does she do? Does she go away and say, oh, thank you, now I've discovered something about myself, I should do something different? No, she doesn't. She says, I'll prove to you, I'll show these judges that they're wrong. She becomes more convinced than ever that she can sing. You know, it's easy, isn't it? We see it in other people. How does she not see that about herself? How does he not see that about herself? How could anyone be so unaware? But of course, the real question is, how aware am I of what's going on in me? How aware are you of what's going on in you? Do you know your distinctive temptations and battles? See, think about it. The ways in which different people are tempted. King David. Now, what kind of person was King David? Well, you read his life story. I think it is very fair to say that by nature and temperament, like a lot of us, he was an impulsive person. Go for it, kind of a guy. Now, you think about his temptation when he sinned with Bathsheba. Do you see how that arises right out of his own flesh? He's an impulsive guy. And he commits impulsive sins. Jonah was the very opposite of an impulsive guy. There wasn't any impulse in him. He was a guy who had sticky seat syndrome, you might say, you know? I'm here and I'm not moving, you see? There's no impulse in him at all. So what's the distinctive temptation that's going to come to Jonah? Well, to see God bringing revival to a city and to sit outside of a great work of God and to sit there sulking and self-absorbed. That's a totally different kind of temptation. But it's the way that Satan tempts a totally different kind of temperament. Now, here's something that you might find helpful in the life groups this week. As we try to be really practical about this thing, here's my suggestion. In the life groups, get a sheet of paper and divide it into two columns. And on one column, write down all the different kind of personality types that you could think of and describe. And then in the other column, try to identify the particular temptations that you think each of these personality types or temperaments might be especially prone to. And once you've completed the sheet, you'll quickly be able to identify where you belong, and you might just see more clearly some of the distinctive sins and battles that you're up against. I'm pleading with you to become a student of your own heart and to become wise in waging this spiritual warfare against our enemy, the devil. See, think of it this way. A person who's meticulous, I'm just giving you a couple of things to get you started on the list. You can do the rest. It's not difficult. The person who's meticulous, it's a certain kind of person. That person may very often be tempted to hold a grudge and not to forgive. Maybe a distinctive temptation if you're a meticulous person that comes to you. A person who is very, very cautious may be tempted to live life entirely on the basis of fear and never to take an initiative of faith. A person who's a perfectionist will very often be tempted to sins of the tongue, to a pattern of criticism, nothing ever being good enough. You become such a difficult person to live with. And that's your battle. And what about cool dudes? See, just think about it. What would be the temptation of a cool dude? Well, you see, would it not be something like this, to never become sacrificially committed to anything, to live within your comfort zone, to go through your entire life and never to have spent a half night in prayer or to have given yourself to fasting, or never really to have launched out into the deep in a way that really was sacrificial and gave evidence that you were someone who was carrying the cross in following Jesus. So I'm saying to you, as Jesus calls us to watch so that we do not fall into temptation, surely that begins by us having some awareness of our particular primary battles so that we know what we're up against and go into this war with our eyes open rather than wandering through the battlefield with our eyes closed. Ask God to help you in this. Use the prayer of Psalm 139. Oh God, search me and know my heart and test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there is any wicked way in me, so that you may lead me in the way everlasting. Identify your primary battles, your distinctive areas of temptation.
What a great reminder today that we do need to become students of our own hearts. As Psalm 139 says, and as we just heard Pastor Colin remind us, we need to be praying that God would search us, help us to know our own hearts, to test ourselves and our thoughts. You know, some powerful teaching in today's message, Standing Up to Temptation, just part of a series called The Inside Story of the Christian Life, a series that's all about what it means to be a true follower of Jesus and what we can expect when we begin that relationship with Him. And maybe you'd like to get a copy of today's message or the larger series for yourself. Ask about it when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or visit our website, openthebible.org. Colin, it's clear how our temperaments can shape the battles we face as we do face temptation, but are there certain times that you seem to struggle with temptation more than others?
Well, that's certainly my experience, and I think that's everyone's experience. I find, for example, that times when I'm particularly tired, I become more vulnerable. It can often be the case that where someone who is close to you has fallen into a great sin, that temptations that come to your own life are actually intensified. So we're going to look at this next time, the seasons of temptation and when Satan's activity is especially powerful.
So for someone who says, I'm not sure I can wait till next time, any hope for somebody who feels like they're vulnerable right now?
There's always hope in the gospel. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. And as well as his command, watch and pray, he gives this promise, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Watch because your flesh is weak, but pray because your Savior is strong.
Well, that's a great word of encouragement to wrap up today's broadcast with. And if you've missed any part of today's program, you want to go back and listen again, do that by coming to our website, openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also order a copy of this whole series on CD. Ask about the inside story of the Christian life when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365, or again, our website, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Jesus says that we're to watch and pray, but how do you do that? Find out on the next Open the Bible.